You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G. D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team.
Yo, 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 Dodger fans. Welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your next order. This is the daily podcast covering the World Series champion Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I'm Vin Samperio, Chavez Ream Fiends, and we are here together. Jeff Snyder of Baseball Central is also here. It's been a while since we got to talk together, so we had to start the week off right.
Yeah, it's been a long time, and I've missed you. As much as I enjoy only having to do three episodes a week instead of five, I definitely like talking to you.
Yeah, the back and forth as well as obviously just having you around is a benefit, but like I said, the days off are pretty good, and I'm sure once the season starts, we'll adjust things anyways. But we got some things to talk about today. Got AJ Pollock to talk about. We got the catching situation to talk about, and a little bit about the pitching staff, namely the starting rotation. So we're going to get into all those things. But before that, a quick reminder to subscribe to Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts. When you get in your car or if you're at home, tell your smart device to play podcasts Locked On Dodgers. All right, so not too eventful of a weekend. The Dodgers won on Friday, they tied on Saturday, and then lost on Sunday. We got to see the corpse of Scott Kazmir, who's still in the league. Corey Seager hit an absolute bomb against him. The Dodgers, against the Padres, it ended up being a tie, but that game was very highly anticipated and very expensive for those of you that were thinking about getting tickets over there for spring training. Jeff, today or anything over the weekend specifically that stood out or you want to mention real quick?
Not really. The results don't matter. And so Corey Seager's home run was pretty impressive on Sunday. It was hard to tell when on those day games. It's so bright that you can't really necessarily always see where the ball actually landed. But I took my best guess at where it landed and then pulled up Google Maps and did the measure distance feature. And by my estimation, it was about 488 feet.
Yeah, there you go. That's a pretty nice hit. I'd like to report that Camelback Ranch is still looking nice, still great. Obviously, the part of not being able to walk around and see the practices and things like that sucked, but it was nice to be at the ballpark to watch the Dodgers. But the one guy that we want to talk about who actually ended up having a good day on Saturday but had not had a good spring up to that point is AJ Pollock. Jeff, this kind of goes back to the postseason where he didn't do much as well. He obviously had a very good regular season, probably one of the only Dodgers to overperform a bit in the regular season. So are you concerned at all about Pollock through the spring based on what you've seen? Obviously, we know numbers aren't telling of everything, but with what you've seen, are you concerned at all about Pollock?
I guess the answer is yes and no, because I'm always concerned with what I see from Pollock, because it was kind of a running theme last year, was that even though he was hitting well, both you and I, neither of us ever felt confident when he was coming up to the plate. He doesn't have that look, that approach that instills confidence. And so when it does coincide with poor performance, it's very easy for people with our particular predisposed notions to think, okay, yeah, so AJ Pollock, I guess, is just bad now. But then he looks exactly the same and hits well. And so I keep having to remind myself, okay, AJ Pollock is never going to look very good, but he does often perform well. But I do wonder, I really don't like watching him face right-handed pitching. The way he seems totally unable to lay off a slider. It's like Yasiel Puig at his worst. And it makes me miss Jock Peterson for that platoon reason. But Matt Beatty could maybe be that platoon guy. I just I keep coming back to the fact that I feel like AJ Pollock is probably a platoon outfielder at this point.
Yeah, and that was the biggest thing of, you know, when I wanted to bring Jock back. But like I said, the Dodgers have capable guys to kind of fill in if they need a platoon. Matt Beatty, one of the guys you mentioned. Zach McKenzie can play outfield. One name that's been garnering a lot of attention is Chris Taylor. He's having a hot spring. He can obviously play left field. He's not a left-handed not a right-handed or left-handed bat to face right-handed pitching, but he has hit well against right-handers and left-handers in the past. So, yeah, concerned about Pollock, yes. Like I said, he's not quite at Hunter Pence level of looks awkward and when he's playing baseball, but still kind of good. He's maybe a less awkward and more like it pains. It looks like painful when he plays baseball a little bit. But, you know, the Dodgers are probably going to give him a majority of the at-bats out there in left field to start the season, then kind of go from there. You know, Chris Taylor can obviously work his way into an everyday type of player. Beatty and McKenzie can as well. You know, maybe Edwin Rios. I don't think he's played outfield before, but who knows. But yeah, there's a little bit of concern there, just like I said, based on the fact that playoffs didn't really hit. It was one of the only players without a playoff moment or some kind of moment. He didn't really have anything post so far in the spring. Not looking great. It was good to see him hit the other day, but it's just, and that was against a left-hander. So yeah, I think it's, you know, kind of out of the realm of possibility of him being an everyday guy. And you know, the way we've seen Matt Beatty hit before, or even like say Chris Taylor, the Dodgers are more than enough talent to make up for if AJ Pollock is not good.
Yeah, there's just no obvious answer, and that's the part, you know, that's the part that makes you miss Jock. I don't miss Jock overall as much as you do. You know, I was the guy who spent 3 years every offseason saying the Dodgers need to trade Jock Peterson. But yeah, in this particular instance, but you know, AJ Pollock's probably going to surprise us and hit righties just fine, just like he did last year. And say, hey, Jeff and Vince, shove your platoon.
Yeah, I mean, we had to convince ourselves the AJ Pollock signing back in 2019. We were not expecting much from him heading into 2020. So maybe the doubts of AJ Pollock are right what he needs to be fueled. I'm sure he listens to this podcast every day.
Absolutely. He's just getting fired up. His face is turning red right now listening to this. He's, I'm going to show those guys because their opinion matters a lot.
I'm all down for him showing this up. I'm always down to be wrong when I'm down on a Dodgers guy. So
go get him, Alan.
There you go. We're going to come back. We're going to talk a little bit about the Dodgers catching situation and some comments Dave Roberts made. So make sure to keep it locked on Dodgers. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action, and it's probably one of the best times to start betting or start learning about betting because it's March Madness. You know, March Madness is going to run over the next few weeks. You already probably missed the best time of sports betting where there's 12 games every day, but there's still going to be some big games. There's still some big Cinderella teams in there that you can maybe win some big money off of, and if you want to do that, you can do it at betonline.ag. They got you covered for all new scores and odds, the best place to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. With the promo code LOCKEDON at betonline.ag, you can sign up and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's promo code LOCKEDON, 50% welcome bonus at betonline.ag. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get podcasts. All right, Jeff. So Dave Roberts caused maybe some slight waves on social media this weekend with a comment he made about the Dodgers catching situation, specifically saying that Will Smith will start somewhere around 90 games. Mentioned that him and Austin Barnes are, you know, kind of a timeshare, and you know, 90 games from Will Smith probably on the lower end for some people, considering the fact that he's been one of the best offensive catchers and is projected to be one of the best offensive catchers again. We know that Barnes kind of overtook the starting catcher position in the postseason. Will Smith was still in the lineup at DH, but is this something that you are on board with, you foresaw, or do you have a little bit of an issue with kind of what Dave Roberts laid out?
I didn't foresee it, and I also don't actually believe it. I don't actually believe that Dave Roberts is only planning on starting Will Smith 90 times. Will Smith is, even the version of Austin Barnes that learned how to hit from Mookie Betts last year, is not nearly as good a hitter as Will Smith. And you know, I recognize that Barnes is an elite framer, and Smith still has his struggles in that department. But the bottom line is offense matters a whole lot. And when you can get offense from a catcher, you get it. And so the reason Barnes caught so much in the postseason last year was because they had the DH spot available. If they hadn't had the DH spot, Barnes would have been sitting on the bench, because an offensive catcher like Will Smith is not a guy you leave on the bench. And so the only way that this is actually going to happen this year, that Smith only starts 90 games at catcher, is if Austin Barnes hits like 2017 Austin Barnes. And at that point, that's a good problem to have. But more likely, Barnes will hit something like, you know, something like an average of what he did in 2020, which was fine. But that's not enough to start 72 games. And so, you know, Will Smith is going to start 110 to 120 games at catcher. Barnes is going to catch Kershaw, and, you know, probably some Buehler starts. Buehler seems comfortable with Barnes, but no, it's, I just don't believe that it's going to happen, because that's not what's best for the Dodgers. It's not what's best for Will Smith, who is much more the future of the Dodgers than Austin Barnes. And honestly, I wouldn't be surprised at all if Smith hits so well to start the season that they recognize that they can't give Barnes any playing time, and they sell high on elite framing and decent hitter Austin Barnes, trade him, and call up Keibert Ruiz to be the backup to get those, you know, one or two starts a week instead. So yeah, not only do I think Barnes isn't going to start 72 games for the Dodgers this year, I don't even necessarily think he's going to finish the year with the Dodgers.
Yeah, what you mentioned about what's best for the Dodgers and what's best for the future, you know, having, let's just say, Barnes, you know, in this scenario, is catching almost all Kershaw and Buehler starts, and then a couple of other days in between. Like you said, Will Smith is the future of the Dodgers at catcher, so they need him to, maybe not necessarily Kershaw, because we don't know what's going to happen after this year with him, but with Buehler definitely, and with all the other guys, the young guys that they have, and the guys that are under contract for the next couple years, he needs to be able to develop that rapport with them. And you know, it's probably slightly overblown what happened in the postseason. That's just up the magnitude to a certain extent. I don't think that Austin Barnes is starting over Will Smith if there's no DH. I just think that happened to be a product that the Dodgers, you know, were able to utilize and able to take advantage of. So while Dave Roberts may be thinking about the 90 games for Will Smith, it's very hard to justify sitting him more than once a week because of you know, how good offensively he is. Now, if he comes out and struggles or things like that, obviously, and Barnes is just kind of average, things might even out. But when it comes to, you know, Austin Barnes can't throw anybody out even if he wanted to. And Will Smith is so much better defensively at that, obviously better offensively. And it's hard for me to, you know, sit here and the justification of him sitting when it counts. But, you know, I think the other thing is they did re-sign Barnes. They did add another year to his contract. So I do think they believe in him in that sense. And they would probably want him sticking around unless he become, you know, AJ Ellis probably would have stuck around his entire career had there not been some other things that I was told that in the locker room that caused issues, just based on the fact of his, you know, reports, pictures, and all that kind of stuff. So I think Austin Barnes is kind of on that track where he might not be going anywhere anytime soon. But that also brings up Keibert Ruiz, like you mentioned, who got into camp late and with visa issues, and has had pretty good at bats and had a few hits so far. Started 4-for-4 in the spring and made some, maybe a little bit too much noise for a spring game, but making it seem that the Dodgers could have, you know, maybe 3 catchers on the roster, which I don't think is possible, but definitely something's going to have to happen with Keibert Ruiz. You already mentioned the fact that you might see Barnes getting traded and Keibert kind of coming up But you know, the flip side and kind of what's been talked about in the past is Caber being the guy to go get someone whatever they need at the deadline, knowing that Diego Cartaya is coming up, knowing that they have Jesús Galíz coming up in a few years, knowing that Will Smith is going to be the guy probably into those years that those guys are ready to come up. So the Dodgers are in a good position overall at the catcher position. But yeah, I agree with you that it's very hard to not have Smith playing 5-6 times a week.
Yeah, and the funny thing is how fickle fans are about catcher defense. I just, while you were talking, instead of listening to you, I was doing a Twitter search, and I found a bunch of tweets from August 5th of last year, which you'll remember was the Dodgers-Padres game when Chris Taylor threw out Trent Grisham to end the game. And there are a whole lot of people tweeting about it's a good thing Will Smith was catching because there's no way Austin Barnes makes that catch and tag, you know. And it's like, you know, it's just there's so much fickleness. We saw that. I mean, Yasmani Grandal is like an elite defensive catcher, and yet Dodger fans probably think in general that he was really bad because he had one really bad game against the Brewers in the postseason and some other notable gaffes. But, you know, so it's hard to – I don't know. I don't even know if I have a point other than that it's funny that people are so high on Barnes' defense right now when people were so low on everything about Barnes, including his defense last year. But, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all if Cabert was the one who gets traded either because they may be able to get more for him, especially if they do have a need at the deadline, like you said.
Yeah, and the other thing is that Will Smith's framing was really good in 2019. The Dodgers, you know, the talk, I don't remember the exact stats, but they were both in top 10 of framing, I want to say, in 2019, Barnes and Smith. Smith took a step back. I know that over that Dodgers Digest, I think Choice Fielder, I forget his new Twitter name, he wrote an article about it. I haven't got around to it yet, but if you want to read more about Will Smith and his framing issues / hope for the future, I think it's over there provided at Dodgers Digest. But yeah, at the end of the day, it's better for the Dodgers to have Will Smith develop with a lot of these pitchers and become the go-to guy because, like I said, assuming he hits how he's supposed to hit and there's they don't want to waste a spot at DH sometimes or whatever else it is. They need Will Smith behind the plate and in the lineup. All right, we're going to come back and talk a little bit about David Price and the rest of the Dodgers pitching staff / rotation, so make sure you keep it locked on Dodgers. Now, we've been telling you about Built Bar, the best-tasting protein bar on the market for a while now. Let me just tell you again, Built Bar, the amazing, low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber, amazing-tasting protein bar with 100% chocolate on all bars. Now, trust me when I tell you that I'm not a guy that's going to go out and buy protein bars, but I've already spent my own money on Built Bars, and they continue to provide us with Built Bars as well. So it's been a great collaboration. But now it's time to find out which Built Bar is the best. It's Built Bar Madness. Today's matchup is coconut versus birthday cake. Now, I'm a big fan of birthday cake. I'm not as big a fan as coconut, although I have been a bit on a coconut tear the last few weeks when it comes to sweets, but I'm definitely gonna roll a birthday cake here. Birthday cake is undefeated. I don't know if it's funfetti or not. I actually haven't had the birthday cake flavor yet, but if it's funfetti, even more so that it's a winner. But if not, I'm still taking birthday cake as the winner. So you can go to builtbar.com or to bar_built on Twitter to place your votes and pick the best tasting protein bar, the best tasting Built Bar. And also remember to get 15% off your next order at builtbar.com. Use the promo code LOCKED15. That's LOCKED15, 15% off at builtbar.com. And go see who won today's matchup and who'll become the best tasting protein bar. Beginning this Wednesday, the Locked On MLB podcast is featuring one of our biggest events of the year, the Locked On MLB Division Preview Series. All our local experts in every MLB market answer the biggest questions around each team. Follow Locked On MLB on the radio.com app or wherever you get podcasts. All right, Jeff. So we've talked a lot about the Dodgers pitching rotation, but there were some new comments by David Price that I don't necessarily know if it changes anything, but definitely gives us a David Price's point of view of the whole situation. And, you know, I believe I talked about before when he mentioned that he's the one that reached out to Andrew Friedman right before they signed Trevor Bauer and said he's willing to do whatever they need to do. No problem. Just, you know, kind of let him know and he'll be ready for whatever. He expanded on that point even more so. You know, he's had a really good spring so far. He says he's expected to be ready to be a starter by the regular season. But once again, he told the Dodgers whatever they need him to do, he's all for it. So David Price's comments are, quote, "I've done this for a long time. I know we have a tremendous amount of talent and a lot of them are young guys. I want those guys to be successful and be able to build their routine as a starter because they have really, really good stuff. I want to see those guys be successful. If me going to the bullpen gives those guys opportunities, I'm all for that." Now, obviously, we've heard David Price, like I said, mention that he's willing to do whatever the Dodgers take. But this is, you know, kind of a different or more nuanced approach of attacking this and saying that, you know, he wants the guys to be able to build up their routine as starters. He knows that they have really, really good stuff. And he kind of knows, you know, the writing on the wall for him is back end of career. Some of these guys are on the front end of the career. That kind of combines with the fact that Dustin May, who we've both mentioned, probably needs another or a strikeout pitch or an off-speed pitch to go with his other stuff in order to be a top-tier starter. He did get, I believe, at least 4 of his 7 strikeouts against the Padres WAR with the breaking ball. And one of the other strikeouts he got was Fernando Tatis with the 100-mile-an-hour fastball. So, Jeff, just making sense or making your thoughts on all of this with the David Price comments, Dustin May looking a little bit different, and even Tony Gonsolin, who pitched decently on Sunday.
Yeah, David Price, you know, we know he's a former Cy Young Award winner, and our main, as Dodger fans, our main recent comparison when we think of former Cy Young Award winner is Clayton Kershaw. And I think what we're seeing here with these quotes from Price is two of the key differences between him and Kershaw. One, Price is almost 36 years old. Kershaw just turned 33. So Price is 3 years older than Kershaw, and Price is pretty far removed. I mean, it's been 9 years now since he won a Cy Young Award, and he's only gotten Cy Young votes in 2 of the intervening years, whereas Kershaw's had Cy Young votes in 9 of the last 10 years. And so David Price is a different animal in that he is late in his career. He knows that he is not going to be, you know, a Cy Young contender. He's not an ace anymore, and he doesn't really have any illusions of being that. And so it gives him that freedom to have that attitude. You know, he's getting paid. He's gotten paid plenty in his career. He's not really probably even playing for another contract, maybe. He's just kind of a team player, and I don't know if some of that has to do with last year when he did sit out the season and maybe feels like I don't know if he owes it to the team or whatever it is, you know, but coming in just with a lot of flexibility, and I think that's great because, you know, he does seem to really, those comments about wanting to be an influence and give the opportunity to guys like May and Gonsolin to maximize their potential. That's what you'd want from a 36-year-old former ace who's still on your pitching staff. You want him. One of the reasons to have David Price on the team is to help make the young guys better. And, you know, I don't know what sort of actual impact he's having on the young guys, but even if it's just that, that's a big deal. You mentioned Dustin May. The one thing that stood out to me even more than the curveball was he seems to be throwing a four-seamer. You know, it's hard to get pitch types accurately in spring training, but from all that I can tell, it looks like he is throwing a high four seamer, and that is that's a pretty big weapon. Like I talked about on my interview with the professor from Utah State, Barton Smith, last month, that he said a lot of guys who throw this sinker would really benefit from adding a high four seamer to their repertoire. Just it's a pitch that looks the same coming out of the hand. You can throw it exactly the same and get totally different movement, different velocity, different location. And it seemed like that pitch that struck out Tatis, I think that was a high four-seamer. And if May can add a four-seamer and get that curveball going, I mean, that's 3 pitches because the two-seamer and the four-seamer really are different pitches. And so he might really have what it takes to be a starter at this point if he is really commanding that four-seamer and getting the curveball going. So all of that bunched together, it's just, I mean, the Dodgers have an embarrassment of riches at starting pitching, and it's a pretty darn good problem to have.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, specifically on the May point, like I said, commanding that four-seamer, we're not just having it, but to be able to command it. We've seen the Dodgers, you know, bread and butter using the high fastball over the last few years to get a lot of strikeouts. And if May can add that, because he did have issues putting guys away last year and, you know, would have had issues in the future getting more than two times through a lineup without developing some other type of breaking ball or, like I said, some other pitch. So it's good to see on that end. And obviously he has a talent and we've already seen him do well in the majors to where he probably deserves or would be on pretty much any other pitching rotation other than the Dodgers. But when it comes to David Price, and we've talked about this a lot, but it just, you know, it's a point to make over and over again with the Dodgers is, you know, how it's going to be a pitching staff. There's not really a you know, bona fide starting rotation only because of what happened last year and not every guy throwing, you know, so many innings. Trevor Bauer might be the only Dodger to make 30 starts. Kershaw and Buehler maybe being healthy around 25 starts and then everyone else kind of falling in line under there. So with Price, it's just a matter of how they want to attack it. You know, do they want to put him in the rotation and see what happens? Do they want to let the other guys the younger guys start and get their you know pitching every 5 days and Price is more used to pitching out of a bullpen or pitching every other day or you know pitching less innings in order to kind of build them up as the year progresses. There's a lot of different ways to attack it, so it's going to be interesting. But I still, at the end of the day, I still believe that Price, Gonsolin, and May are all probably going to make between 20 and 15 starts. You know, maybe one of them makes 20 plus starts, but I think they're just going to try to get the innings however they can and make sure all these guys are ready. And then when it comes to the postseason, which is the more important part, all these guys, you know, depending on how you feel about all everything, these guys have all done pretty much anything in the regular season and postseason when it comes to it. So May, Gonsolin, Price, even Julio will be able to be using a wide variety of options and knowing that they've already dealt with that type of mentality and they know how to prepare for it.
Yeah, absolutely. If you have eight solid starters going into the postseason and, you know, six of them have only thrown 130, 140 innings on the season, yeah, you have all that flexibility to whether you want to do piggyback starts or whatever, especially because we're going back to days off in the postseason this year. And so you really only need three or maybe four starters per series. And so, I mean, they could have so much pitching flexibility and make it really, really hard on opposing teams.
And like I said, embarrassment of riches is just a true word. We talked about having too many good catchers and too many good starting pitchers on today's podcast and having to speak to the Rockies guy, Ryan, last week and then speaking with the Diamondbacks guy this week. It's just, you know, talking with them, it's kind of hard to have to humble yourself because it's a little bit different. The differences in those teams is very huge.
Yeah. Poor guys. I don't feel too bad for them.
No, like I said, at any time, assert the dominance at the very least at the start of the season with some of these other division teams is great. But yeah, Jeff, it was, like I said, nice talking to you. But anything else you have before we head out for the day?
Just two quick things. One, I'm excited to see you in Denver on opening day.
Yes.
It's official that you and I will both be there. And first time that we will be in the same building since game one of the World Series last year. So excited for that. And just wanted to point out that today's episode begins our 105th week as Locked On Dodgers, or more commonly put, our third year. We just finished our two full years as Locked On Dodgers. The actual anniversary of our first episode, I think, is the 25th of this week. But yeah, we are starting our third year doing Locked On Dodgers after doing close to 3 years as the Scully Avenue podcast. We did 138-ish episodes of that podcast, and we must be at, what, 522 or something on this one. So, yeah, we have talked a lot to each other in the last 5 years, and I'm looking forward to at least a million more episodes.
Yeah, you're definitely in my longest relationship, so be proud of that.
And best looking.
that too. But yeah, that's going to do it for Locked On Dodgers. Oh, one thing I do want to add is make sure to download the Locker Room app and make sure to follow us. We will be hosting weekly chats on there, either both of us or one of us at the very least. Bring your questions, bring your comments. You will be part of the show. So if you ever think, hey, I can talk Dodgers better or with these guys, or you have something you want to debate, maybe, you know, tell us ahead of time. If you do have something you want to debate, we can get that in there or whatever else. But download the Locker Room app, follow Jeff. Are you at Snydog?
Yes.
I'm at Jeff is at Snydog on there. I'm at Vincent's91, I believe. But if not, just search my name and you'll see us. But yeah, we'll be doing that on Thursday night most of the time. So make sure to get it before Thursday night. Thank you all for listening. Make sure to subscribe if you haven't already done so. Tell your friends and family, all that good stuff. Rate and review. And then we are on social media, Twitter and Instagram, at Locked On Dodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at Snydog. I'm at Vince Samperio. If you want to call and leave us a voicemail or shoot us a text, you can do so at 323-863-LOCK or send us an email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us when you get in your car or if you're at home. Tell your smart device to play a podcast, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.
D. I say D-O. D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs, they're my Los Angeles, your Los Angeles, our Los Angeles. Do you think we'll really win the pennant? Bye!